We turn in God's Word to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. We will read the whole Psalm. We read it in connection with Lord's Day 34 and the command to flee idolatry and worship Jehovah alone. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So far do we read God's Word. On the basis of this passage and others, we have the instruction of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34. Lord's Day 34 begins by quoting the law of God. We're not going to reread that because we already read the law this morning. But that's question 92. What is the law of God? And then lists the 10 commandments. Question 93 then asks, how are these commandments divided into two tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God, the second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? That I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God. Trust in Him alone. With humility and patience, submit to Him. Expect all good things from Him only. Love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. What is idolatry? Idolatry is, instead of, or besides, that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Sometimes people challenge us on Jehovah's existence. That happened in Israel. We don't know the exact history behind this psalm or even who wrote it. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what it does speak about is how the heathen were, there was a heathen nation that was bringing trouble into Israel. That's the context of the psalm. And these heathen that worshipped idols, they seemed to have the upper hand on Israel. So the question that they had, those heathen nations had, is where is their God? Where is Israel's God? They talk about His power, but they're, you know, we have the upper hand right now. Where is their God? And the same challenge comes to us sometimes in the midst of troubles in our life, or even when certain natural disasters happen, or there's a terrorist attack or something like that. You'll hear people say, well, where is their Jehovah? Where is Jehovah? Well, Scripture reminds us today that, contrary to what so many like to say and even mock, Jehovah is the only God, and He rules in the heavens, and He must be worshipped. That's Psalm 115. Clearly teaches that. That's really the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Each commandment that God gives to us is not just a random rule. Understand that. These aren't just arbitrary rules, but each of the commandments actually shows us a truth about who God is. And the first commandment shows us that Jehovah is the only God. That's the truth implied in it. May Jehovah strengthen us today in our faith and in our desire to worship Him alone. As we look at the first commandment, and when we look at all the other commandments in the weeks going forward, 1 through 10, may we, by God's grace, see our sin, see our failures, not make any excuses for them and try to say, oh, that's not so bad, or I don't do it this way or that. May we see our sin and our need for Jesus Christ. Depend on Him alone for salvation. But also this, so see your sin, need for Christ. We will also be directed, as we look at each of these commandments, at how we are to live in thankfulness as redeemed children of God. These commandments show us how to go forward and give thanks to God in our life for our salvation. So may we not look at this just as, oh, this is some good information I'm hearing this week. But may the Holy Spirit apply the Word to our hearts so that we go forward living in gratitude for Christ. Ask throughout the sermon this morning that Jehovah would bless you through the Word. Throughout the sermon, ask me, Jehovah, bless me through this Word that I might go forward living in thankfulness, worshiping Thee alone. Lord, strengthen me. Bless me. Let's consider the text under the theme, worshiping Jehovah alone. Worshiping Jehovah alone. First, who He is. Second, what He commands. And third, how we respond. Who He is, what He commands. And third, how we respond. Who He is. Jehovah is the only God. What do we mean when we say that? Well, the word God is used in verse 2 of Psalm 115. The heathen asks, where now is now their God? That word God means in Hebrew, or it comes from a verb in Hebrew that means to be strong or mighty. So the idea of the term is God is, you're referring to the Mighty One, the Strong One. The One who is God is strong of Himself. He's the One who rules heaven and earth. He is the One who gives to us everything that we have. That One who rules all, the One who gives to us all that we have, that One is worthy of worship. Now, who is God? Psalm 115, among other passages, emphasizes that the One who is God is Jehovah. Right after we read of the heathen asking, where is now their God, in verse 2, verse 3 then teaches that Jehovah is the mighty ruler of all, the Strong One, the Mighty One. Verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That He is in the heavens means He's way above. He's above all of us. He's above all creatures. He's above. And that He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased means that He does whatever His will is. That's what He is pleased to do, His will. So that He has done whatsoever He pleases means that He does whatever His will is to do. Nothing can stop Him. And think about the power, the strength involved in that. We have a will too. And we make plans to do this or to do that. But those plans often have to be changed. The circumstances around us, we are not in control of. And so, there might be a snowstorm and we had plans to do this or that. Well, plans have to change. Can't do it anymore. We do not do whatsoever we have planned or have willed. But Jehovah does. That shows He's the strong one. He rules. He's God. Verse 15 further emphasizes that Jehovah is God when it says He made heaven and earth. He made heaven and earth. That's amazing power. And sometimes we can lose sight of the power involved in that. As those who live in the world we do today. See, in the world today, we have many screens and we can watch this or that video of something that happens on the other side of the world, and the world seems in our minds to shrink in a certain way. Looks small. Something that happens on the other side of the world, people over there, they could be right there in my living room with me on my screen. Most in the old days had a better idea of the vastness of the universe as those who studied the heavens, those who studied the stars and looked at those things. We can easily lose sight of them. But take time to look at that and think about what it means that Jehovah made the heavens and the earth. How He made those stars. We couldn't make them. We couldn't put that sun up there or the moon. Think about that. How far those things are away and yet we can see them. Who placed them there? Who keeps them there? Jehovah. That He made heaven and earth reminds us He is the strong one, the mighty one. He's God. Psalm 115 teaches that Jehovah is ruler, He is creator, and He is Savior. Verses 9 through 11 say, in each verse, He is their help and their shield. He is their help. He is their shield. He's their help, their shield. Three verses in a row. That He is the help of His people. Partly as the idea that He delivers them. He delivers them from their enemies. He delivered Israel as people from their physical enemies and their spiritual enemies, like Satan and sin. He delivers us from Satan and sin. He does so through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the strong one, the mighty one. He alone is God. You might think simple truths, Creator, Ruler, Savior. They are simple truths, things we need to be reminded of. He is the strong one. He's God. We need to be reminded of that because so sadly we and many others can so easily worship idols. Many deny that Jehovah is God and worship idols today. Idolatry is described in question and answer 95. It says, what is idolatry? Idolatry is, instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. So one who worships an idol places their trust in that thing to get them what they need. Now, trusting in something besides God is really just part of worshiping an idol. There's more to it. Most basically, to worship an idol, in Scripture that word worship means to fall down before it. Fall down before the idol. You give your life to it. To something besides Jehovah and His praise. You put that thing, the way to say it is, you put that thing first. You put that thing above Jehovah and the service of Him. That's what matters to you more than Jehovah, more than service to Him. That thing, that person, whatever it may be. Scripture and the Catechism give examples of idol worship to help us understand it further. Psalm 115, verse 1, for instance, references the worship of self, really. Psalm 115, verse 1 gives these familiar words, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." The word glory in that verse, and in many, most passages of Scripture, the word glory means literally weighty or heavy. You might think that's strange. Why does that word mean weighty or heavy? How do we get glory out of that? Well, things of value are often measured in weight. Think of diamonds or other precious stones measured in weight. So the word glory refers to something that has value and worth. And when verse 1 of Psalm 115 talks about giving glory to something, it means to ascribe value or worth to something. The psalmist says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us give glory." And that implies that someone might seek glory for themselves, and by doing so, worship an idol, the idol of self. The Israelites were tempted to seek victory over their enemies so that others would ascribe glory to them, would ascribe value and worth to them, and say how strong Israel is, how great they are. And don't we have the same temptation, isn't it, so often that we too seek glory for ourselves, that others would ascribe worth and ascribe value to us? Really think about that for yourself and how often, how easy that is for that to happen. Today, people might try to, this can happen to us too, try to get videos or pictures of this or that thing they did and get just the right caption on social media so that you get the likes, popularity grows, and you get some worth ascribed to you, some value, get some glory. Or even this, that we just work hard, or we play hard in our game, or do our homework really well so that others ascribe worth to us, ascribe value to us, and talk about how good we did. Many say, and this can easily include all of us, say, "Not unto you, Jehovah, but unto my name give glory." Psalm 115 speaks about more than just idolatry of self, but also talks about the worship of gods of wood and stone, gods that the heathen worshipped in the Old Testament. Verse 4 says, "They're idols of silver and gold, the work of men's hands." The heathen did that. They made images of their god with gold and silver. And then they would worship that god that they made. They would place their trust in it, pray to it, and when rain came or they got a great victory in battle, they would bow before that god and really say, "We're going to give our life to that god and follow the commands that the god has given to us." Dedicate their life to it. Lord's Day 34 gives more examples of idolatry. Question and answer 94 lists sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints or any other creature. All forms of idolatry. Sorcery it involves being in contact with strange supernatural powers. You try to get in contact with evil spirits, thinking that they can empower you. Think of satanic worship. soothsaying is foretelling the future. So you or you have someone do this for you, look into a crystal ball to tell you the future. Superstition is believing that you can do a certain activity or say certain words to have something good happen. So you cross your fingers. Sometimes we'll even say that today. Cross your fingers. This happens. Or you do a certain activity the same way every day because you're afraid if you don't, then good things won't happen today. Catechism also lists invocation of saints. That's prayers to the dead, prayers to people like Mary. One is looking to them for help, those dead saints, looking to them for help, trusting in them rather than God. And there are so many more examples of idolatry today than just the things that are listed here. Think about all the idolatry that there is in the world today. 2 billion people pray to Allah. 2 billion people pray to Allah. 1 billion are Hindus who believe that all the organisms around them are divine and they themselves really are divine. 400 million bow to Buddha. Everyone worships something. Some argue that they worship Jehovah even, but they have an idol too because they don't worship the Jehovah of the Scriptures. So someone, for instance, might say they worship Jehovah, but they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God come in the flesh. Well, then they don't worship the Jehovah of the Scriptures, the true God. Many today don't want to worship the God who is holy and hates sin. And so they make really a new Jehovah that tolerates all sin, all lifestyles, and sends everybody to heaven. That's an idol. It's not the real God. Many more today, though, many more, most worship themselves or other people or things or all three combined. Think about that worship of self further. In addition to seeking glory for self, one might worship self by trusting in yourself. So, trust in yourself for health. You think, if I do this, if I follow these steps, this exercise program, all will be good. If I follow the doctor's orders here, all will be good. And you say nothing to God, you follow this whole plan, you really hardly, you don't even bring it up to Him. Maybe a little bit here and there. But you don't look to Him. You think, really, I've got this. Men worship themselves easily, but also worship other men. That especially brings to mind the fear of man. You worry about what they're thinking all the time. So you're worried about what they think about your looks, what they think about your post on social media, what they think about what you're saying, all these different things. You're so concerned about that this person, really, these people, become a god. You're more concerned really about what they think than Jehovah. And it's so easy to do. It's so easy to fear man in our community, especially where we are a smaller church in this town and really are a smaller church that's feeding into a bigger Christian high school, bigger Christian community there. And we can easily become so worried about what they think of us as those who come from a smaller church and we try so hard to fit in that those people and what they think really becomes our God. And we're even willing to do things that we should not do just to fit in, just so we don't look different, just so we are accepted. And that's not just for young people. That can be for all of us. Today, man also worships material things. It can can be that our motivation to work each day is not really God's glory, not really seeking to help God's kingdom get these gifts so that I can use them to serve God's people. It's not our motivation, but instead it can easily be our motivation is to get more things for us, to get this vacation, this thing that I want so badly. And we want those things so bad, and we work and work and work at the expense of teaching our children Jehovah's fear around our table. There's really no time for that. Or we work and work and work so much there's no time to help at church. Or we do this and this so much that we really don't even rest on the Sabbath day because getting those things has become so important. That can happen without us even realizing it so quick. Work and getting things becomes number one, what matters most really in my life. Must examine ourselves in regard to these idols that have been brought up. Worship of self, men, and things. God says in the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's the command. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. To have a god means that you worship that thing besides Jehovah. To have another god before Jehovah, that word before literally means in his face or in front of his face. So these other gods are untrue gods. They don't have power of themselves. They don't have strength. Yet men do worship other things besides Jehovah, and the commandment calls those things gods. They're objects in which men place their trust, objects which men put above God. The Catechism explains the first commandment this way. It says that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry. Now, what does that exactly mean for us? It means flee from that worship of self we talked about. Flee from it. Don't trust in yourself to save yourself from your sins or to make yourself righteous before God. Don't do that. Run from it. Don't trust in yourself for your physical well-being, thinking, well, I can get myself these things that I need if I just follow this, and this step. Or I can get through this trial myself. Don't trust in yourself and show that by neglecting prayer. Don't try to get others to glorify you, working to impress them so that they ascribe worth to you and value to you and not God. Run from that worship of self, things, or other men. Run from it. Psalm 115 shows that idolatry is wrong, but it does something else too. It shows how foolish it is. And it shows how foolish it is to encourage us to do this running from idolatry. Verses 4 through 8 of Psalm 115. These are familiar verses, but they show the folly of idolatry in Israel's day. Verses 4 through 7 say, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." So think of that. These men make things with their hands, idols. And the psalmist says, "They have mouths," those idols have mouths, "but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat." Psalmist is making clear, idols are just objects made by men's hands. They are dead, powerless, mindless. So the question is, why, and think about this, why would these heathen nations do that? Why would they worship these things, and why would we ever worship these things that can't do anything? That's the question. Why would you do that? Verse 8 teaches that those who worship idols are dead like them. It says there, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. So those who continue in idolatry are as spiritually dead, powerless, and mindless as those objects that they make. And those who continue in that way will die forever in hell. Idolatry was so foolish then. You're worshiping an object that men have made with their hands that are dead, powerless, mindless. So foolish then. Well, guess what? Idolatry is just as foolish today. Think about ignoring Jehovah and trusting in yourself or other men for your needs. Neither you nor any other man can make the rain to fall upon the earth, can make those crops really to grow, and can cause that food to strengthen you. No one can do that. And neither you nor any other man can save you from sin and from Satan and the consequences for sin. No man can save you from that. So why would we trust in ourselves or in other men? Utter folly. Also, when you stop and think about it, it's so silly to seek praise for ourselves or to seek really to live in the fear of man. It's so foolish. You can, thinking about the seeking of glory for yourself, you can only make a basket and you can only do any of your work and you can only think through any problem you face at work. You can only do that because Jehovah gave you the strength to do it as the one who rules heaven and earth and all things. So why would we seek glory for ourselves in those things then? Jehovah deserves all the glory. And why would we seek so much the glory of men to impress them? They're just men. They were made by Jehovah. And when you start to think about that, it's so foolish then to worship these idols that are powerless of themselves. All made, all these men made by Jehovah. Just as ridiculous it is to really worship material things of the world, give yourself to getting things that will just fill a landfill someday. Idolatry is so really a ridiculous thing to do. Flee from it. The command not to have any other gods before Jehovah implies positively that we must worship Him alone. Question and answer 94 describes that positive side of the command too and describes the true worship of God. So the first part deals with idolatry. And then the second part of answer 94 says, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone, with humility and patience submit to Him, expect all good things from Him only, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart. So according to the Catechism, worshiping God involves knowing Him rightly. To know Jehovah rightly means that you understand the truth about who He is. You understand the truth, for instance, that He's the Creator of heaven and earth who does what He is pleased to do. You understand that He's the Savior of His people through the work of Jesus Christ. That you understand, that you know Jehovah God, though, means that you don't just understand the truth about Him, but you know Him personally. You know God experientially. So you don't just know about Jehovah being Creator and Ruler, but know that He's your Creator, your Ruler. You don't just know about Him as Savior, but you know He's your Savior in Jesus Christ. You know that. You have a personal relationship with Him. You hear Him speak to you in the Word, and you speak back to Him in prayer and song. That's knowing God, that personal relationship. And knowing the truth about God and having that personal relationship with Him, that's worship. That glorifies Him when we live in that personal relationship with Him. Knowing the truth about Him also helps you worship Him further. So when you know and you think upon Him doing whatsoever He is pleased to do, you think about the power involved in that, especially compared to us, that leads to further worship. And when you think about Him being our help and our shield, and what that really means, that leads to further worship. Knowing Him rightly is worship. It leads to more worship. That's why it's listed here. Worshipping God is to know Him rightly and to trust in Him alone, answer 94 says. But Psalm 115 emphasizes that also. Right after the Psalm talks about idol worship in verses 4 through 8. Verses 9 through 11 then say this, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. It says it again in verse 10 and 11, trust thou in the Lord. That's the positive side then. Don't look to idols. Trust in the Lord. To trust in God is to believe that He will provide everything we need physically and spiritually. As answer 94 adds, you expect all good things from Him only. So you look to Him to provide forgiveness, to shield you from the devil and his attacks. And you look to Him for the food, drink, and shelter you need every day and expect that He will provide. He's so great. Trusting in God includes, as question and answer 94 says, that we humbly and patiently submit to Him. So God sends troubles and trials. Trusting in God includes submitting to Him and saying to Him, God, Thy way is good. Even in the midst of this, God, Thy way is good. Thou art making this serve. I know Thou art making this serve to the good of Thy people and to me, myself, too. Trusting in God is worshipped, is worship. God is praised when we submit to Him. God is glorified when we look to Him and we trust in Him to supply us with the physical things we need every day and the spiritual things we need. That's exalting Him. So worship God this week by trusting in Him. Do that throughout the day. Each of us here, this applies to all of us throughout the day. Lean on Him for strength to do your work. So that as you're doing your homework or as you're at your job, lean on Him. Even say prayers often. Lord, strengthen me to think through this. Lord, strengthen me even to read this so that I can get this work done and do it well. Strengthen me. For this work, Lord, I lean on Thee. That glorifies Him. Do that. Worshipping God, according to answer 94, is to know Him rightly. It's to trust in Him alone. And it's to love Him in the third place. To love Him. We worship God by loving Him. That is, delighting in Him so much that we're seeking His praise and His fellowship. We in love are seeking to keep His commandments. That worships Him. Worshipping God involves fearing Him according to answer 94 and Psalm 115. Psalm 115 again talks about idol worship in verses 4 through 8. And the following verses contrast the worship of God to idolatry. And in the verses that follow then we read about fearing the Lord. That's the opposite of idolatry. Verse 11, fearing the Lord. What it means to fear God is that you stand amazed or you stand in awe of who He is, which results in serving Him. Fearing God involves this, that you read Psalm 115 about Him doing whatsoever He pleases. And you think, what power that He does that. His will is always done. What power? Stand in awe of that. You read Psalm 115 and you think about Him being the help and shield of His people. Him delivering us through Jesus Christ. And you stand amazed at that, in awe of that, of who He is, and His grace and mercy and faithfulness. Fear Jehovah. Stand in awe of who He is, which results in a life of service. That's worshiping God. Worship Him by fearing Him. And last, according to answer 94, fearing Him or worshiping Him means that you glorify Him. To glorify Him. That's, again, to ascribe worth to Him. It's to give Him recognition in what we say and what we do. It's to do what Psalm 115 verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord," we say, "not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory." When the Israelites said that, the idea was that they were not concerned with themselves. That they would be delivered from their enemies so that other nations would talk about how powerful they were. Or other people in the nation would talk about how powerful the warriors of Israel were. They weren't seeking their own glory, their own recognition, their own praise. Their concern was God's glory. His recognition. That others would ascribe worth and value to Him. And may that be us. All the time. That's the demand of the first commandment. That all the time we seek His glory. That others would recognize Him. That others would ascribe worth to Him. So be concerned with God and getting recognition for Him and not yourself. And again, that has to be not just on Sundays. That we worship Him, that His love, fear, glorify Him. Not just on Sundays, but all the time. That's the idea of the first commandment, is that we never have any other God before Jehovah. Psalm 115 verse 18 says, "We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." So always trust in Him, and not yourself for anything. Always, when doing your work, every single day, lean on Him for the strength to do it. Always. Always fear Him, remembering He is great. Having that in really your mind, the back of your mind at least as you work, how great He is. Always seek to give glory to Him so that His recognition is the top priority. So work at your job and at school to the best of your ability. And when others say that you did good work, thank them for that. But also look for an opportunity to point them to God. Talk about how He is your God. He gives you strength to do this work to His glory. And even when you play a basketball game or you play another sports game or the kids all tell you you did something great at recess, you can thank them for that. But always remember and even say this, that God is the one who gives to us any abilities we have to run, move, or think. It's all of God. Connection with God's call to worship Him alone, what a calling that is, He shows us that that's the good way. It's the good way. Psalm 115 verses 8 and 9 indicate that those who trust in Jehovah instead of idols, they experience His help and His protection. So verse 9 says, "O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." The idea of that is as we trust in the Lord for help, as we look to Him, for instance, for forgiveness in Jesus' blood, God makes us to know that forgiveness. We experience His help. As we look to Him for shielding from our spiritual enemies, trusting Him, we experience that shielding and His help. We grow in holiness even. Those who trust in Him will even become like Him. Amazing. So we heard that those who make the idols, verse 8, they're like their idols. Dead, powerless, mindless. Well, the implication of the verses that follow is those who trust in Jehovah, become like Him. So as we look to Jehovah for strength to serve Him, He makes us holy like Him. Praise God. Verses 13 and 14 adds, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. So Jehovah will bring those that fear Him, those that worship Him, to experience His favor, His closeness. As we stand in awe of Him, for instance, at church, fearing His name, singing His praise, we will experience nearness to the Lord. And as we seek His glory at work, seeking to do our work to the best of our ability, for His glory, not our own, we experience His closeness as we do that and are thinking upon Him. And our children will learn from our example too, according to verse 14. You and your children will increase more and more. They'll learn from our example, and they too will enjoy Jehovah's closeness in that way of worshiping Him alone. So following Jehovah's path for worship is the good way. Again, Jehovah doesn't just give these commands arbitrarily or randomly. He's showing us the good way. To this first commandment, we must respond in two ways. In the first place, look for forgiveness in Jesus' blood. We've heard much about what the first commandment means. And as we've heard it, by the grace of God, we see that we fall short. Who among us can say, I have never sought my own glory in what I did? Who among us can say, I never trusted in myself, but I was always leaning on Jehovah, looking to Him for strength to do my work? Who among us can say, I never feared man, so that I was most concerned with what they thought and not really what Jehovah said? Who among us can say, I've never worshipped material things, making them too important? Not one of us can say we've never done those things. We've all sinned. And beloved, see how serious sin is. We've sinned against the holy God, the one who made heaven and earth, according to Psalm 115, the one who has such power. And think about the wrath that He has towards those who have sinned, who did wrong against Him. What wrath He shows to sinners. And then you think about how we are those who have been shown such goodness by God. So that as verse 12 says, He's been mindful of us. We so often fail to be mindful of Him. He's been mindful of us. He has sent His Son for us. He has been with us and our children, increasing us. He has done and does so much for us. We of all people, I and you, of all people, have the least reason to be idolaters. And yet we still commit idolatry. We especially of all men deserve to be cast into hell. I do, you do. So pray for forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ today. Christ came to this earth and He perfectly obeyed all of God's commandments, including the first commandment, always seeking the glory of God all the time. And because He was perfectly righteous, He could take upon Himself all of the sins of His people. All of their idolatries, when there are so, so many. He could take them all upon Himself, and He did. And He paid for all the sins of His people. Pray for forgiveness in Jesus' blood. For all your sins, all your idolatries, trust in Him. And know that God forgives for Jesus' sake. praise God for that. And also look to God for strength to keep this commandment. So first, look for forgiveness in Christ's blood. And second, our response is to look for strength to keep this commandment in gratitude for Christ. We cannot flee from idolatry in our own strength. But Christ does work in His people. He does live in them and moves His people to worship God. He died for us, His people, and He rose again. And He now lives. And He, think of this, He's the one who perfectly sought the glory of God in all He did. He now lives in us by His Spirit. That's amazing. That's wonderful. And He works in us to worship God in gratitude. God works in His people. He did this in the psalmist too. Verse 18 says, the psalmist says, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That was the psalmist's resolve, and that's our resolve by the power of Jesus Christ in us. And know that Christ is pleased to provide as we depend on Him, as we look to Him for strength. So pray today for that strength to worship Him in gratitude. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to Thee and we thank Thee. Thou hast given to us Thy word concerning idols. We confess that we each have fallen into idolatry many times. Lord, forgive our failures. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. And also, Lord, strengthen us to go forward worshiping Thee this week in gratitude. Trusting in Thee throughout the day and not ourselves. Fearing Thee, loving Thee, and giving glory to Thee throughout the day. Lord, strengthen us mightily through the word we have heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.